This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In all our excitement here, and that was a great segment, I thought, with Mark Cabali. All of us arguing like so many people will be over the holidays. Bob, do you get in certain arguments with certain people in your family, a cousin, an uncle, where it's a sports argument or it's a certain
define
thing?
Argument.
I can remember people in Susie's family, every time I would see a certain guy, there would be an argument about the Pirates, for example. Or every time I would see, who was it? Aunt Patty, somebody like that. There would be one little particular thing that maybe not argue, but it was the topic that I would talk to Aunt Patty about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody has a designated topic, and you know what I mean.
Aunt Patty, if she had a couple of drinks and got even more testy about her position. And
maybe political stuff, yes.
Well, political stuff is never good. No. We have a rule, never bring that up when you have gatherings. It's just not worth
it. It's not worth it, no. Very bad idea.
But sports, I mean, you could live with either or, you know. I think, number one, if you're going to have this kind of stuff, you have to understand everyone has a different opinion, and that's okay. I'll listen to yours, or you listen to mine. I'm sure you don't agree with mine. I may not agree with yours, but it doesn't matter as long as you do it in the right way.
What a beautiful philosophy, Bob.
Isn't that the way it should be, though? Listening. A lot of people don't want to listen anymore. They just want to spew to you whatever their position is, and there's no other side. Well, there are other sides.
Well, I wonder if we're on the same side with this little topic. That is Mr. Running Backwards himself, Deontay Johnson, is there for the taking right now. Mike Tomlin was asked about that at the end of his news conference yesterday.
Deontay Johnson is expected to be available on waivers. Do you have any interest?
I have nothing to add about somebody that's not in our football team right now.
That didn't sound great. Didn't sound great, Bob. I would be shocked if this happened.
Shocked. Why would you do it?
Having said that, is it something you would advocate for? Do you want Deontay back here?
No.
Limits, do you?
Not really, no. I think he was too much of a headache, and there was a reason that they shipped him out for basically at the time nothing, even though Dante Jackson's become a decent piece.
I have less than no interest in this. This is a guy who just quit on his
Ian
team.
Ian Rappaport continues to think that that's a destination that makes sense.
I don't know. Maybe he's right.
Why would he think that?
I don't know. Some things don't make sense. I hope they're not thinking about this because getting rid of him seemed to be addition by subtraction no matter who they got back. They got back a decent player, I think, although I wonder about Jackson's coverage capabilities. He has made some big plays for them, though. This year.
He's made 5 interceptions. I mean, he's been better than I think anyone could have thought.
Yeah, he's made some big plays. I think he got exposed a little bit, but beside the point of getting rid of Deontay in and of itself was good for the team, I think. Don't you?
Yes.
And I don't want him back. Something has happened to him to the point where he just quit on the Baltimore Ravens. No, thank you. How do you know that's not going to happen here? Forget it. And I don't even think he's that good. Anybody?
No, he was okay in Carolina, actually. I mean, at the time, he was actually putting up a little bit of a yardage number, and that's why I think why Baltimore was interested in him. They had a need, they had injuries, and so they brought him in, but it certainly didn't work. He couldn't even smell the field.
How can he not succeed in Baltimore, which seems like a perfect situation for him? They needed like one extra weapon. I mean, decent system, good scheme.
Ego, it seems like.
That's why he was run out of Pittsburgh. That's why he ran himself out of here.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line on which you can communicate with Wonder Twin brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm. They always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Happy birthday to the great Jack Ham. I was talking to the guy this morning on the phone and had no idea it was his birthday.
What'd you ask him about?
None of your business.
And I didn't mean that. Hey, Jack, what did you do
with that? I'm sure we'll know very soon.
I'm playing the blue course over at State College here in the spring. How do you attack number 4?
Can we go golfing with Jack Ham, Bob? Could you set that up?
Yeah, could you?
Sure. Jack liked golf. I know that. I don't know how much he plays now. It's hard to, you know, find time.
Well, happy birthday to Jack.
Happy birthday, Jack.
Point there. All right. I have a feeling this is going to heat up. You two attacked me, and I felt very
attacked
hurt.
Is the wrong word.
A strong word.
Well, this was a couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago, and I felt very hurt and went to personnel and reported both of you. You'll be getting your letters shortly. When I brought up the college football playoff and said I had no interest in the first round. Oh, this is going to be great. These games are great. What do you mean? You'll be watching it? You're lying. How do you all feel now, having watched that brutal first round?
I still liked it because I like having a tournament that involves more than two teams or four teams. I want to see more teams. Now, I think they have a bigger problem how they seeded teams and how they came to this conclusion. That was a mistake. I thought it was a mistake when they did it, giving byes to Arizona State and Boise State over teams like Texas and anyone else. That's the wrong decision.
Well, listen, Bob, you know that you have a problem, not you, college football, or anybody who tries to bracket a tournament where the teams that got first-round byes and are waiting on the bracket are all underdogs when they play their first game.
Isn't it stunning?
It's a joke.
That
really
tells you everything you need to know about the system they employed here.
Yes, it was hideous. There were teams that didn't belong. Indiana was one of them. I got in a big Twitter fight with bunches of people. I'm sorry.
And you were wrong.
I'm sorry, but if you play an entire college football schedule and you don't beat a single good team, the only good team you play, you have 153 total yards and get dog walked like they did at Ohio State, and you have no other wins that are good, no wins that are good, period. You don't belong in a playoff. I'm sorry. I don't even think SMU belongs there.
What about SMU?
I don't think they belong there, but here's the thing.
They handed the game to Penn State essentially early.
Oh, my God, that quarterback melted down.
Jennings, I thought he was better. I mean, Pitt found out about him and them.
He went full Nate Peterman in the first half.
He got pony jinxed saying that everyone was going to know Kevin Jennings' name.
He was right about that.
Just like Kyle McCord, everybody will know his name, the best pocket passer around. He pony jinxed the ACC quarterbacks. That's what he does.
Does he do that intentionally before the game, or is he tweeting out what he believes?
No, I think he's doing what he believes.
He generally believes this, and I think he thinks that the oddity that the exact opposite happens is just what's so hilarious about the entire thing.
They didn't belong, but as Richard Deitch pointed out on The Athletic before the tournament, if you let Alabama elevate its status while SMU is actually playing in a conference championship game and playing competitively, then you can no longer justify conference championship games. So I believe that the committee, looking at that situation, said to themselves, or somebody said to them, listen, these conference championship games might become obsolete. People might not like them anymore, but they make a lot of money. So maybe SMU would be the right choice here. That's what he said, is that you elevate Alabama while the other guys go and lose a conference championship game and are competitive, then how can we justify conference championship games moving forward? I think there was an ulterior motive to put SMU in. I think Indiana, anybody could have looked at that and said, they're not very good. Why are they going to a playoff? And I think there was a lot going on there, and the first round stunk.
Oh, it did stink. There's no question. It started on Friday night. It was just terrible. Notre Dame just waxed them right out of the building. It just wasn't even close. It was, people who were fans of Notre Dame loved it. They paid the money, the television money, all that was there, which is a big part of this, to your point. This is a greed thing, too. You know, they're making a lot of money on this. But they can't allow what happened this year to happen next year. They're going to have to make changes. Every one of these teams is an underdog that got a bye. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's untrue. Georgia is a favorite.
Are they? What is
the last I saw is Notre Dame minus 1.5.
No, it's 2.5 Georgia. I just changed.
But my point is, the other ones that you would suspect to be underdogs are underdogs.
I'm surprised that Oregon is an underdog. Undefeated, number one seed. They've already beaten Ohio State. Surprised they're an underdog.
Me too, actually.
That doesn't make any sense. That tells me something.
But you know what we're saying, Limits, is that if you put out a bracket tomorrow, whether it's for a Pee Wee softball tournament or the college football playoff, and all the teams that have byes are underdogs.
Right. Oh, no,
there's
something severely wrong
with the way you did that bracket.
It should be they should receive an automatic bid. If you win your conference, I think you should get in, but it should be 1 through 12 seeded as the not automatic buys for teams that win their conference. It should be 1 through 12, depending on what the rankings are as the best teams.
Yes. And why are bad losses put ahead of good wins? Like, I keep hearing the Indiana argument, Alabama had these bad losses. Okay. So you're emphasizing bad losses over a lack of good wins, like, or good wins. Why don't their good wins help erase the bad losses? You chose a team, Indiana, that has neither. They're just there. They're just neutral. They didn't beat anybody. They played one good team. That was Ohio State, and they got hammered. So why were they in the playoffs?
Yeah, Tennessee got hammered more than that Indiana team.
But they
team
had good wins. They had good wins. Why do you emphasize bad losses over good wins? That's the part I don't get.
I found it hilarious that SEC pundits and Lane Kiffin tweeting out "Go Vols" and basically just completely throwing so much shade at Indiana and SMU for making the playoff, and then him and Paul Feinbaum, all these SEC guys that are just, just loving the SEC so much. They go radio silent as soon as Tennessee gets their doors blown off by Ohio State. The regular season is supposed to matter. That's why SMU got in. They did not lose a regular season ACC game. That is supposed to matter. The Indiana argument, I can understand that. But even people were trying to say, well, if you just say that Indiana shouldn't belong and SMU shouldn't belong, should Tennessee be in that same conversation?
It doesn't all go back to how the first round went. It goes back to how the committee judged teams coming in. And I'm curious, Bob, why, you had a bad loss. Yeah, but I also had a good win. Why the emphasis on the bad loss and not the good wins? That's what I don't get.
I don't understand that either. It's perception. It's perception of a program and a conference. You know, you're looked at differently if you do that. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of subjectivity in this. I get it. But I think ultimately they have to come up with a new seeding system.
Who are we picking next round? Let's go game by game. You ready, Bob?
Yep,
and limits?
Can I ask you this real quick? What is Alabama's good win other than Georgia? What is their good win? They've had two bad losses. They got crushed by Oklahoma.
Well, Vanderbilt is the one that's...
And they got beat by Vanderbilt. Okay. And they had a good win against Georgia. That cancels it out. It's one bad loss.
The first thing I would say is the phrase "other than Georgia" it is a little bit much for me.
Yeah, and that gets canceled out for me by losing to an Oklahoma team that's the worst it's been in 15, 20 years.
Okay. Missouri was ranked 21st when Alabama beat them. That's a ranked win. LSU was ranked 15th when Alabama won on the road in Baton Rouge on a Saturday night. That's a good win against a ranked team. Now give me Indiana's wins against ranked teams. I'll wait. Oh, no, I won't, because they had none.
LSU beats Old Miss.
Give me Indiana's wins against ranked teams.
Let me pull it. They don't have any.
Correct.
Yeah, but they play in the best football conference of any.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Considering, would you not consider Oregon and Ohio State as the two top teams right now?
Did Indiana play Oregon? Texas? I must have missed that one.
You got to play who you got to play.
Right.
You,
so
you
don't
can't
tell me about
that.
The Big Ten as a great conference if you don't have to play the best team in it.
Well, because there's 18 teams in it. That's the Big Ten.
All right.
That's
they
the problem with all
the
these
schedule.
Big conferences.
They got to break with the schedule. So other than Georgia, Georgia was the number two ranked team in the country when Alabama played them and beat them.
Right. Good win for them.
Great win for them. Not a good win, a great win. And they had some other very good wins, including at Tennessee, Missouri. They beat four.
So who are you arguing should be in
teams.
Instead of them? Who do you think should
Indiana?
Have been in?
Indiana?
So let's say Indiana's out, SMU's out. Who goes
Alabama
in?
For
All right,
one.
Then who's the other?
I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to look closer at it. The one I was arguing about was Indiana.
Right. Ole Miss had a bad loss against Kentucky. All these teams that people were arguing for, they should be in instead.
I know. It's always the bad loss instead of the good
one. Well, and it's also more losses.
Let's look at what's
Well, of course it's more losses. They played a better schedule.
Well,
of course it's more losses. If they played Indiana's schedule, guess how many they'd have? None.
We don't know. I mean,
like
who knows?
They did.
Tennessee got walloped by a Big Ten
team.
The
other thing here's the other thing they ignore. When you actually have good teams on your schedule, it's harder to navigate your schedule. It's way more stressful, way more physically rigorous when you're playing good teams. You might lose to a bad one. You know why? Because you pour so much into beating a good one. Whereas if you're Indiana and you're coasting for the whole year against cupcakes, then it's easy to navigate that. Except in Ohio State, where they had 153 yards and got their asses kicked. Bob?
I defer to the next selection. What are we going to do? Who are we picking?
Bob doesn't want to fight.
Bob does not
today.
Even want to battle with it.
No, it's just that it's just redundant. It's just, you can make an argument any which way you want. I'm going to go by what I think are the best teams, and I'm going to seed them that way.
Well, I agree with that. The seedings are horrible.
And if most of them come from another conference and one conference is left out, so be it. I don't care anymore.
I have no pity whatsoever for Alabama, who schedules Mercer on November 16th. Really grueling. They went from Mercer to Oklahoma.
Beside the point, every team does that.
Yeah, but in November? That late in the year?
They do it as a respite.
Yeah, they had just played three ranked teams in a row. At Tennessee, number 21 Missouri, and in Baton Rouge on a Saturday night. So I ask again, how many ranked teams did Indiana play?
So let's just throw a cupcake at them at the very end.
Why
instead
not?
Of having it at the very beginning of the
instead
season
of having
where
11
most
of them
teams like
Indiana.
The ACC and Big Ten do.
Right. And then they went into Oklahoma. And I know Oklahoma wasn't that good this year, but you didn't know that when you scheduled. They scheduled at Wisconsin.
Who? You didn't know who was going to be bad when they scheduled.
How did
Oklahoma?
We know?
That's a conference game.
Yeah, it's a conference game, but you didn't know they're going to be bad.
Right, you can't.
Well, you knew it at the time. That's why you penalized them for losing 24-3. They couldn't move the ball on Oklahoma.
Do you penalize them more than winning the good games they won?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so bad losses. Then I would never schedule
considering
anybody.
The expectations around Alabama, that you never schedule anybody. They scheduled Mercer. They scheduled South Florida.
They have Mercer
Western
every year.
Kentucky.
They beat Georgia.
Congrats on scheduling Wisconsin.
They beat Georgia. Yeah, congrats on going to Wisconsin, a Big Ten team, and playing them. I would say congrats, yeah, and going in there and winning 42-10. It's not bad.
Okay, let's look into the next four games.
People have, and I don't like the SEC either, people have a bias against the SEC, and they hate Alabama. So that's how this is playing out. Indiana, give me a freaking break.
Uh-oh, you came close. There's another word on the tip of your tongue.
I got my hand close to the button.
They played two good teams the whole season, and they were physically dominated in both of them. Anyway, Fiesta Bowl, Boise State against Penn State.
I'm going
What's
Boise
the point
State
spread you have
one.
Limits?
I think Boise State's going to win.
Wow.
I think Austin Genty is just something different, and I was convinced by watching the game against Oregon when he had over 200 yards rushing. I think three touchdowns in that game. He can do it about, you know. And I realize that's mostly a one-man team here. That's how they operate. Penn State may be able to shut it down. If they do, they'll win. But I just have this feeling that Boise State's going to win that game.
No, not happening. Penn State is favored by 10.5. Boise State is not going to win this game. Maybe I'm already looking too far ahead to Miami. But flights are currently about $500, $600 for the Fiesta Bowl. So looks like I'll be seeing you around the holidays in these parts.
Okay. I'll tell you this much, Bob. I like that Limits comes in hot, and he does these days. He's unafraid. I think this new jacket is helping him. I love this.
I agree, yeah. It's giving me a new confidence.
And by the way, there were people on this station ripping Penn State for for allegedly not being able to fill their stadium. I give them a lot of credit for filling that stadium the other day.
And you have to remember, too, this was a Christmas break when the dorms, you're told to leave. You can't stay in the dorms.
No, people they could stay in the dorms. They extended it. It was extended so that the students could
normally,
stay.
Normally, they don't keep people there to serve you when it's on a Christmas break. Because I've gone there, and
there
I know
there were
what
a
the,
lot of factors working against them.
I didn't know they extended
stadium.
But regardless, they got 106,000 people there for a playoff.
The report that there was going to be 70,000 people, I mean, I don't know where Pony got that. Pony texted me 20 minutes before the game and said, a buddy just texted me that the stadium is half empty. I said, that is absolute nonsense we'll use. And I sent him a picture of the stadium, and he was like, wow, that's not even close.
You had fall graduation weekend.
Yep.
You had hotels in town. We're going for over 1,000 a night because
ridiculous.
Of that in the game. You had people obviously reworking their Christmas plans. State College, not an easy place to get to. Noon game, brutal weather, 30,000 fans. This is from a friend of mine. Probably just dropped 1,000 plus to go to Indy for that game with Penn State.
Yeah.
And then you had all of that. So credit to them for filling their stadium, because they did. When people were pre-mocking them for not doing it. Anyway, very quickly, let's just pick the winners. Notre Dame.
Okay, I'm going to surprise you and take Notre Dame.
I'm taking Penn State in the first game. I'm taking Georgia in that game. Texas, ASU.
Texas.
I'm taking Arizona State
in
this one. Yeah. Only because I like Tempe, Arizona. I got a haircut where Jake Plummer got his haircut once, and I love the town.
Did you see Plummer?
No. The lady told me he was there years earlier.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking Penn State, Notre Dame, Texas, and Ohio State.
Oh, I'm taking Oregon in that one.
I'm taking Ohio State. I think Ohio State's going to go on a little bit of a run here.
Holy horse follicles.
Yep.
I'm saving my money for the Orange Bowl so that I can drive down 12 hours to Atlanta for a rematch of Ohio State and Penn State in the national championship game.
Oh, how about that?
Boy, that's a hot take.
Yep.
Good for you.
I will be broke as, what's very broke? A doornail? A door that's split in half?
The Steelers division title hopes?
Yeah.
No, not
that's
yet.
That's how broke I'll be.
Let's talk about the point spread for that game coming up because I find it very interesting.